हारने। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
So before starting Bhagavad Gita, we have an introductory course on Bhagavad Gita called Gita Prachaya. So last year, then we arrange that systematically. This arranging is still going on. That's why we immediately after taking darshan in Mahalati we went on. So we will be giving that anthology of quotes to all of you, printouts will come, or they are coming. That's what we can say now.
So this introduction to Bhagavad Gita, it is Gita Parichaya. So this is done based on Srila Prabhupada's books itself, as Prevanpu has already told. So Prabhupada has given a 31-page introduction to his own Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, and it contains all the themes of Bhagavad Gita. So this is also based on Bhagavad Gita as it is. It has got many topics. So first is what we are going to discuss today, that is what is Bhagavad Gita. And there are many other topics like why one should study Bhagavad Gita, that is what is importance of Bhagavad Gita, for whom it is meant, for whom it is not meant, who can understand Bhagavad Gita, 5 subjects told in Bhagavad Gita, 3 sections, and summary of Bhagavad Gita, on the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita and glories of Bhagavad Gita, like that many topics are there. So first we'll begin with today's topic, what is Bhagavad Gita. So we'll, for every point first I'll explain and then we will go through the quotes in Prabhupada books, Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita. So first is, it is widely read perfect theistic science. So for this, first we'll discuss how it is theistic science. So the word theism, I think you all understand. Atheist means he doesn't believe. So theistic science means it is a science. If you see the dictionary meaning of the word theist or theism, it is one who believes in the existence of God. So the basic understanding of any religion is that they believe in the existence of God. So without any conception of God, without knowing who is he, so if we just say we have got any religion, then it is just some production of our mind. It is just some mental speculation. Religion means they are words of God. So just like in the government you all have state laws. So government is there which is making the laws. So they can't, state laws cannot exist without the government. So similarly, the words of God, the Shastras, so they are possible only when we have some conception of God. Otherwise we'll just speculate. So it is how Bhagavad Gita is a theistic science. So because Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he is personally speaking this to his devotee Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So when we say Krishna is God, so this is not something, what you call, he is not limited to certain sects. So he is God, and he has given his Bhagavad Gita. Indeed, the very meaning of Bhagavad Gita is a song of God. So Bhagavat means relating to God, and Gita means it is his song. When we see in Bhagavad Gita, it is always told many times, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. It is not said Krishna Uvacha or Rama Uvacha or some other thing. So of course Krishna is God, but he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is speaking Bhagavad Gita. So it is a theistic science. So we know in Gita Mahatmya also, Gita Sugita Kartavyam Kimanya Shastra Vistarer Yaswayam Padmanabhasya. So personally Krishna, so he has spoken this Bhagavad Gita. So it's a theistic science. And also why it is theistic science is that because he spoke this to Arjuna, his devotee. And again he spoke it on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So holy place, it is a holy place, so that we can expect that something about God, something about the controller is discussed. So Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra is not an ordinary place, it is a Dharma Kshetra. And there this theistic science has been spoken by Krishna. And again, the war which was taking place, Mahabharata war, so it was a Dharma Yuddha. And hence, the topics Krishna told, it is like it is Bhagavad Gita is a Dharma Grantha. Basic understanding. At basic level, it is Dharma Grantha. So like this, it is a theistic science. It is not just religion, it is a science. So when we say science, it can be proved. So scientists also have their own science which they prove with experiments, but much of the theories and all, they are just speculated. So only some things they are able to prove, and much of the things which goes on in the name of science is fake. So it's not true, but this is a science, and Krishna very scientifically he explains it in Bhagavad Gita. And finally, theism, if you see in Vedic epistemology, what is the meaning of theism? It has a broader meaning. It just doesn't say one has to have belief in God. So it says many things. So it says at first level one should have faith in the words of God, that is Vedas, Shastra. So one who accepts the authority of Vedas, he is a theist. So again, there are various categories done in this. So one may just accept the authority of Vedas, but still one may not accept spirit soul. So even from Vedas, one may speculate many in many ways, and one may not accept that spirit soul exists. So this is also possible. So again, another definition is one who believes in the spirit soul and reincarnation. And finally, one who believes that, or one who knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Bhagavad Gita, it is a theistic science because all these subject matters have been discussed. So Krishna, he is Ishwara, he is controller. So he is being discussed by himself. So he tells about his energies, so how they are working. And then he elaborately tells about the science of the difference between matter and spirit. In second chapter he elaborately explains. And then he also explains the meaning, the importance of Shastras. So how one should accept it. If one doesn't accept, he will not be happy. So even in this life, in the next. And many times, Krishna, he quotes also sometimes Shastras. So like this, in different ways, Bhagavad Gita is a theistic science. And it is not just theistic science, but it is perfect theistic science. So perfect because when Krishna says, so there are no flaws in his words, there are no mistakes. So when we say perfect, perfect knowledge is not available in this world, because the people, because we, when we try to gain knowledge, we have four defects. So we know, we first of all, we have imperfect senses. So today when I went for breakfast, I saw the item and I saw a lot of tomato must be there. But it was not like that. So our eyes cheat. So we don't have perfect senses. And then we commit mistakes. We get illusioned. And we have cheating tendency. But in the words of Krishna, these four things are not there. So it is a perfect theistic science. So Krishna is a Purushaya. So he doesn't have any defects which any normal person or any mundane person has in this world. And it is perfect also in the sense we can understand there are so many books of theism in the world. There is Bible, Christians read it, they preach from it. We have Quran and so many other religious books. But Bhagavad Gita is perfect theistic science. In quality and quantity also. Just in 700 words, Krishna has spoken all that is to be known. So in terms of principles and even certain details. So like that, if you see, if you compare with the other literary books, other theistic books in the world, so there is no comparison for what is there, told in the Bhagavad Gita. So for example, when we go through second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very analytically explains what is the difference between matter and soul, spirit and soul, the living entity and soul. But this kind of, this level of understanding is not there in any of the texts of the world. So even if we compare with any other Vedic literatures, which are famous in Bharat Varsha, so even among them, we can't find such an comparison, wherein all the different subject matters of Vedas so have been dealt in a very comprehensive, in a very few words, or very few verses, just in 700 verses. So like that, Bhagavad Gita is perfect theistic science. So again, if you see, the understanding of scientists again is not perfect. So they have so many flaws. So first of all, we were discussing that is atheistic knowledge. So they don't believe in existence of soul. They say that this universe has come up from an atom or nothing, just small particle. And then later they go on to explain that if things are working in this world, it is because Mother Nature, so Prakriti, she is making everything. She is making the moving things move. So they can't understand even the basic concept, the difference between body and soul. And they speak about lot of universal theories. But when they are not able to understand about themselves, how are they able to understand about the universe? So in this way, we can understand scientists, they only have atheism to give. It is an atheistic science. So, but Krishna very nicely, he explains that how there is a controller, and he himself is the controller. He tells, Maya Dekshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. So like this, he will not only discuss the atheistic theories. So he has discussed the atheistic theories, especially in the 16th chapter entitled Divine and the Demonic. So he has told how the atheistic people, they don't believe in the existence of God. They say everything has come by chance. So all these theories which we discuss in science, or which we have learnt in science, have been spoken by Krishna, and he has smashed them also. So like this, Bhagavad Gita is a perfect theistic science. And then it is widely read. So widely read, we know in India it is famous among all the people. When we try to distribute Bhagavad Gita in India, we don't find difficult to get them to the platform to understand what is Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes in the West it may be a little difficult. It is surely, but because of influence of ISKCON and all, the Bhagavad Gita has spread. It has become much famous. But of course it was famous before also. So it is famous both in the East and West. In India especially, we have so many acharyas. They have written commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya. So they all based their teachings on Bhagavad Gita. So like this, it is very famous. And in the West also, when Prabhupada went to the West, he saw that there were more than 400 commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. So this shows to show that it is very widely read even among Western people. So because it is such a science, so it is taken. And another reason is because the other literatures in Vedas, they are very vast. But Bhagavad Gita is only 700 verses. In 700 verses, so everything is discussed. And it is famous among different classes of people throughout the world. Like in India, politicians like Gandhi, so he read Bhagavad Gita, Radhakrishnan. So although they didn't understood, so they understood all opposite in the name of Bhagavad Gita. For example, Gandhi, he was preaching non-violence. So although he had Bhagavad Gita in his hand throughout his life, they say. So Krishna, from the beginning, he is making Arjuna, he is pushing him to fight. So based on religious principles, of course. And then scientists like Einstein, so he was also a regular reader of Bhagavad Gita. And Oppenheimer, when the first atom bomb was exploded on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, he told, this is something which only God or the controller can handle. Human beings can't handle it. So because Krishna says, I am the time, I destroy the worlds. So like that. And then philosophers like David Henry Thoreau and Emerson, so they read. And also professors, when Prabhupada went to the West, Stilson Judah, so he was very much influenced by the Krishna consciousness movement started by Srila Prabhupada. And he read also Bhagavad Gita as it is. So like this, Bhagavad Gita is famous throughout the world. There are so many commentaries. So it is a widely read, perfect, theistic science. So we'll see in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, where this quote comes. So you all can open first verse. Perfect. So Srila Prabhupada also starts his first verse by saying how it is widely read theistic science. So did everyone get it? First verse, purport, it is easy. So we'll read it. Bhagavad Gita is the widely read theistic science summarized in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of the Gita. And you all can come at the end of the paragraph. It is the perfect theistic science because it is directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. So next definition, next understanding of what is Bhagavad Gita is, it is a conversation between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. So this is basic to everyone's understanding. So we know during Mahabharata war, so Dhritarashtra was in his room, and the most of the war, what happened in the battlefield, was narrated by Sanjaya, who was his secretary. So because Sanjaya was blessed by his spiritual master Vyasadeva to be able to see what is happening in the battlefield. In the very first verse, so Dhritarashtra is asking, O Sanjaya, what did my sons and the sons of Kuru did upon as being assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? Dharmakshetre, Kurukshetre, Samaveta Yuyutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva, Kimakurvada Sanjaya. So Dhritarashtra Uvacha. So he is asking to Sanjaya. And then Sanjaya in the next verse, he says, he answers. So like this, it is a conversation between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. So Mahabharata war was a great war, and Dhritarashtra, like this, he could understand everything what happened on the battlefield by the mercy of Sanjaya. So everything was narrated. So like this, it is a conversation between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. And then next, it is conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. So we know, after describing the entire Bhagavad Gita or the entire things what happened in the battlefield, at the end Sanjaya himself tells that how it is a conversation between two great souls. He tells it is conversation between Vasudeva and Partha. He says at the end, Sanjaya uvacha ityaham Vasudevasya Parthasya cha Mahatmanaha samvadam iti samvadam idam ashtausam adbhutam roma harshanam. So samvadam means it is a conversation between Vasudeva, that is Krishna, and Partha, that is Arjuna, son of Pritha. So it is conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. So in the very first chapter, when the war had started, just at the onset of the war, so we see that everyone, the major fighters, they played their conscience, which indicated the beginning of the war. And then Arjuna was put into illusion. So not he was not put, but first he told, I want to look at the who I have assembled on the battlefield. So please take my chariot amidst the two teams. So he says in the 22nd verse, Arjuna Vacha, Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratam Stapaya Mechuta. So he is describing to Achyuta, to Krishna. So this is where it starts. And then it goes on. So then Krishna puts Arjuna into illusion, and then Arjuna gives various reasons not to fight. And then throughout the Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjuna asking so many nice questions to Krishna. And thus, we have the Bhagavad Gita. Till the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, Arjuna and Krishna, they are speaking. And Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita, he is asking whether you have any doubts. Then Krishna, Arjuna tells, Nashta moha smritir labdva tvat prasadat mayachuta. So like this, it is conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. So sometimes it is very funny. Sometimes when we meet people, especially I had an experience, so they want to attribute whatever we tell in connection to Krishna, they want to tell it to Shiva. Like if you say Krishna is the source of the demigods, he is the source of Shiva, then they want to say Shiva is the source of everyone, even Krishna. So one person told me that Shiva spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, but this is very funny. So no one will accept this. So it is very famous that Krishna spoke this to Arjuna. And then again, it is conversation between Janmejaya and Vaishampayana Rishi. So Vaishampayana Rishi, he was one of the students of Vyasadeva, whom Vyasadeva had given the Veda, Yajurveda. And he developed that. So after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Janmejaya, who was the son of Parikshit Maharaj, so he was very much angry on the snake Takshak. And to take the enemy, to take the revenge, he wanted to finish all the races of the snakes existing in the universe. And then he did a great sacrifice called Sarpa Yagna to kill all the snakes. Then of course, so since the demigods and other sages, they somehow convinced him not to do it, so he stopped it. And a little later, so Vaishampayana Rishi, so by the order of Vyasadeva, he narrated the entire Mahabharata to Janmejaya. So like this, Bhagavad Gita also appears in Mahabharata. So it is again conversation between Vaishampayana Rishi and Janmejaya. And finally, it is part of Mahabharata. So we know, so that Bhagavad Gita, although it is widely read and distributed as a separate book, so actually it appears in Mahabharata. So in Gita Mahatmya we know, it is Bharatamrita Sarvasvam. It is the essence of Bharatamrita, Bharata or Mahabharata. So especially Vyasadeva, he put Bhagavad Gita inside the Mahabharata just because he wanted basically to give Bhagavad Gita. But people, they like stories. So without stories, without politics, they are not interested. And war means everyone is enthusiastic. What will happen? They are very curious. So Vyasadeva put this Bhagavad Gita in Mahabharata. So it appears originally in Mahabharata in Bhishma Parva, from chapters 25 to 42. So these are the 18 chapters appearing in originally in Mahabharata. So like this, especially Vyasadeva, as we know, he made Mahabharata just for the less intelligent people. He tells, Stri Shudra Dvijam Bandhunam Trayi Na Shruti Gochara. So all these three people, they cannot understand Shruti, the Vedas. So for their compassion, he has made this Bhagavad Gita. So like this, Bhagavad Gita is very preliminary text. Among the Vedas, it is very preliminary, basic text. So as Priyagunpu yesterday, he mentioned that it is ABC of Bhagavad Gita. And all Prabhupada especially, he called it as ABC. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he called it as infant class. In second standard, first standard students, they have to listen. They have to. It is their subject matter. So in this way, Bhagavad Gita is a meant for very beginners in spiritual discipline. Those who are very beginners. So this is Bhagavad Gita. So it is conversation between Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. For that we will go through the quotes. Again, first verse purport. So the second paragraph. So did you all get it? Everyone? The topics discussed by Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya as described in the Mahabharata form the basic principle for this great philosophy. So topics discussed between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. It is understood that this philosophy evolved on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is a sacred place of pilgrimage from the immemorial time of the Vedic age. So this is where it appears. And again, you all can open in 18th chapter, 74th verse. At the end. So this is Bhakti Shastri's study of Prabhupada as it is. So we'll be going through the quotes like this. So again, in the beginning of the purport, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary Sanjaya what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjaya by the grace of his spiritual master Vyasa. He thus explained the theme of the Bhagavad Gita. So like this. So we will go to the next topic. So we have not written there, of course. So Bhagavad Gita is Prasthana Traya. So what is Prasthana Traya? So Prasthana means, like in Hindi you all have word, kaha par prasthan kar rahe ho, means where you are going. So Prasthana Traya is a broad classification of Vedic literature. And as we know, Vedic literatures are meant especially to reach the goal, Krishna, or to understand him. So this is termed as Prasthanatraya. It is the path of progress towards the absolute truth. By the Vedas, by studying, by understanding the Vedas, we understand the absolute truth. We understand Krishna. We know why Vedas are so vast. But the essence of Bhagavad Gita, or the why it is meant Bhagavad Gita, what has to be known from Bhagavad Gita? It is, we have to know Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedeshya sarver aham eva vedyo. So from all the Vedas, I am to be known. So there are so many Vedic literatures. So Vyasa Deva, so before, the Vedic literatures were just heard and they were coming from the guru to the disciple. So like that, the disciple is to understand the subject matter. But then Vyasadeva, he understood that people of Kali Yuga would have less memory and they will not be able to hold and retain the subject matter just upon listening once. So he divided the Vedic literatures and he put them into written. So he is called as Veda Vyasa. So Veda Vyasa, one who divides Vedas, he is called Veda Vyasa or Vyasadeva. So there are originally 4 Vedas and 108 Upanishads, and these are the original Vedic literatures, and later on Puranas were written by different sages just to explain what is told in the Vedas in a very clear way, because generally majority of the people, so they are less intelligent, and for them it is not possible to understand the highly philosophical works, the Vedas, the Upanishads, and especially for them, so these other literatures, the 18 Puranas were given, and then the Itihasas, Mahabharata, Ramayana. So in Itihasas come Mahabharata and Ramayana. So Vyasadeva, mercifully he gave all these Vedic literatures, and then he summarized everything in Vedanta Sutra. So especially the Upanishads. So Upanishads are meant for spiritually interested people, those who want to progress in spiritual life. And Vedanta Sutra, especially, it is essence of all the Upanishads. So Upanishads are essence of all the Vedas, and Vedanta Sutra again is essence of all the Upanishads. So in this way, there are so many Vedic literatures, and they are basically classified under 3. First is Shruti, second is Smriti, and third is Nyaya. So in Shruti come the 4 Vedas and 108 Upanishads. So the very term Shruti we know. Shruti means Shravan or Shruti, Shrutidhar. Shrutidhar means one who hears just once and he retains. So Vedas are meant to be heard. So this is the meaning of Shruti. So they are the words of God. They are words of Krishna directly. In Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 15th verse. So we have the verse which says, Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam. So Brahma has many meanings. Here it means Vedas. And Akshara means, it refers to Krishna. Akshara, infallible. So Brahma Akshara means Vedas. Brahma Akshara Samudbhavam means. Samudbhavam means produced. So Vedas are produced from Akshara or from Krishna. So like this, Vedas have divine origin. Again in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad it's told, Asya Mahato Bhutasya Nishva. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad it's told, Vedas are the breathings of the Lord. So just like we breathe, and there, some small mosquito may go sometimes while we are breathing, or some dirty smell may come. So but when Krishna breathes, so Vedic literatures come out. So like this, so from any of his limbs he can do any activity. From his vision he can create, he can accept our whatever we offer. So in Brahma Samhita we have Angani Asya Sakal Indriya Vrittimanti. So all of his limbs are very potent and capable of doing the activities of other limbs or senses. So Krishna, he will, or Narayana, he can just breathe and produce Vedic literatures. So that is his glories. So in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad it said, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etat yad rigveda samaveda yajurveda atarvangi rasaha. So it says that the Vedic literatures, so especially the four Vedas, they are the breathings of Narayana. So just like Narayana is eternal, so his breathings, the Vedic literatures are also eternal. So of course they sometimes get revealed to the hearts of different living entities, and sometimes it is not revealed. So in this way, Shrutis or Vedas are always eternal. So this is Vedic literature, Shruti. And then comes Smriti. So Smriti, the very term again will tell that it is something what is remembered. So the great sages and all, they remember, and by their spiritual intelligence, they explain what is told in the Vedas. So this Smriti means they are supplementary Vedic literatures. So just to explain it very clearly and properly, so Smritis are given. So indeed the very meaning of Purana is Pura iti iti Purana. So that which completes the Vedic Vedas, so that is termed as Purana. So in this way, Smritis are given by sages, they are compiled. So we have so many Puranas. So they are all meant for the common people to understand. So because we are, most of us are not interested in philosophy. So stories, we see Mahabharata. So how the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the history was taken. So keeping Krishna in the center, keeping Pandavas in the center. And like this, Smriti was given. This is Smriti. Even Nectar, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gave Smriti. So whenever they give Smriti, whenever they give any Vedic literature, so they quote from many Shastras make their book authentic. So like this in Puranas also, many Vedic statements also would be quoted. So in this way, this is second Prasthana. And third Prasthana is Nyaya Prasthana. So Nyaya Prasthana means that which is given with logic and reason. So Nyaya. So this is Vedanta Sutra. So in Vedanta Sutra, everything is explained very systematically. So the first word is told, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So inquire into the absolute truth. And who is God, who is Brahma? The very next verse tells, Janmad Yasya Yataha. So from whom everything emanates. So this is very nice systematic explanation. So step by step everything is explained with logic and reason. So this is Vedanta Sutra. And it is the essence of all Vedic literature. So Vyasadeva, after doing everything, after giving all the Vedic literatures, he has done Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta. So again the word explains what is Vedanta. Veda means Vedas. And Anta means end or the conclusion of the Vedas. So which Vyasadeva has explained. So like this, these are three Shrutis. Three Prasthanas. So Shankaracharya especially, he wrote commentaries on certain texts of all these three Prasthanas. Like he wrote on 11 Upanishads, 11 or 12, and then he wrote on Bhagavad Gita and again on Vedanta Sutra. So like this, he wrote his own commentaries, and like this, it became a trend to write commentary on these famous Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta Sutra. So this is Vedanta, Prasthana Traya. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he also speaks about this Prasthana Traya. So where does he say? So does anyone know? in one verse he tells all these three prasthanas. Okay, in 13th chapter, 5th verse, he tells Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vividair Pratak Brahma Sutram Padas Chaiva Hetu Madbir Vinaschitair. So he says Rishibir Bahuda Gitam. So the word Rishis comes. So Smritis are given by Rishis. Bahuda Gitam. Rishis have given many, they have spoken. So like this is Smriti. And Chandobir Vividair Pratak. Chanda means they are Vedic hymns. So various Vedic hymns. These refers to the Shruti, the Vedic literatures. And then Brahma Sutra, Padas Chaiva. So Vedanta Sutra is known as many words. It is known as Vedanta Sutra, then Brahma Sutra, then Badarayana Sutra. So it has many names. So Hetu Madbhir Vinaschitair. So in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna while telling what is the field and what is the knower of the field. So Kshetra and Kshetrajna in the 13th chapter, he tells that all these things have been discussed by, in these all three prasthanas. First he tells, and then he tells, I will tell in brief. So he is giving reference to all these three prasthanas. So like this. So basically, Mayavadis say that, Mayavadis, of course, they write commentary on Bhagavad Gita, which is again part of Mahabharata, it is Smriti. So some class of people, they object, they say that Bhagavad Gita is a Smriti and it is not much important. So the Arya Samajis, so they say. But we will discuss that how Bhagavad Gita is not just Smriti, but it is Prasthanatraya. So it is Shruti, it is Smriti, and it is Nyaya also. So first it is, how it is? Shruti. So Shruti means, the very source of Shruti is, it is the breathings of Lord Narayana. Means Krishna has personally spoken it. So likewise Bhagavad Gita also is spoken by Krishna himself. So it is Shruti. There is no difficulty in understanding. So Vedas are perfect because Krishna, who is Aparashaya, he is free from all defects, has given them. So similarly, Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. So like this it is Shruti. And also, Mahabharata also is called as fifth Veda. So especially, people, they don't believe in, some of them, because Bhagavad Gita is a Smriti, they don't have faith or they don't want to read. But they have faith in Shrutis. So Chandogya Upanishad, so which is a Shruti. So in Chandogya Upanishad itself, it's told that Mahabharata is a Pancha Veda. It is a fifth Veda. So even in Bhagavatam, if you all see, in first canto, fourth chapter, 20th verse, it is told, Panchama Veda Uchyate. So just before the Mahabharata is described, it is told that this is Panchama Veda, it is fifth Veda. So like this, there is no difficulty in understanding that how Bhagavad Gita is Shruti. And again, it is Upanishad also. So in the Srila Prabhupada, again he starts his introduction to Bhagavad Gita with this statement. So Bhagavad Gita is also known as Gita-Upanishad. It is the essence of all Vedic literatures and it is the most important Upanishad. So like this, it is a Upanishad. So it is a Shruti. So there is no difficulty. And again, in the Gita Mahatmya, it is told as, it is the essence of the Upanishads. It is not just one of the famous Upanishads. So, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopal Nandanah Partha Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gutkitam Rahat Gritam Mahat. Sarvopanishado Gavo. So Bhagavad Gita is compared to an cow, which is the essence of all the Upanishads. Dogda Gopal Nandanah. So okay, that will not go because it is different subject matter. So like this, Gita Upanishad, it is the essence of all Vedic literature. And then the style of presentation also is Upanishadic. So if you see in Upanishads, because just people are Karmakandis in Vedas mainly, and just when they come to open, when they become little inclined, when they understand that there is no happiness in sense enjoyment, they take to Upanishads. So in Vedic literatures, again they give two paths. One is the path of enjoyment and one is the path of self-abnegation or detachment. So they are Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. So because ultimately there is no happiness in the material world, but still, because some people who may not hear to the Vedas for any reason, so Vyasadeva has given Pravritti Marg. But actually Vedas are meant for, so coming out of this miserable material world. So Upanishads mark the beginning of spiritual life. And in this way, Upanishads, especially after people come from enjoying tendency, they immediately cannot understand who is supreme. So supreme is also described in a way by negation. He is not directly described. When something is difficult to describe, this method is used. You are not this body, so we say, but who are you? So that is different subject matter. So by negation we can tell so many ways. You are not destroyed, you are not burned by fire, so like that, different ways. So in Upanishads especially we find arupam and different things told. And also we find this definition by negation. So in Bhagavad Gita we see while Krishna is explaining, he is saying about soul, na jayate mriyate va kadachin. So jayate means it doesn't take birth, it doesn't mriyate, it doesn't die. So nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyah. So nor in the, you will not come into existence, you have not been, it's not that you came into existence at some point of time, or you will come, or in the future you will come. So like this Krishna is explaining in a negative way, by negating. So the style of description is Upanishadic style. So if you all see, there are many verses similar. So we'll be reading that, of course. So like this it is Shruti Pramana. Then it is again Smriti Pramana. So this is not very difficult to understand. It is part of Mahabharata. So everyone knows this. Bharata Amrita Sarvasvam Vishnu Vakrad Vinishritam. So it is the essence of Mahabharata. So the whole war of Mahabharata was just to give Bhagavad Gita. So this was the reason why the Mahabharata war was there. And so like this it is Smriti. And then it is Nyaya also. So why it is Nyaya? So basically the style, the subject matters discussed in Bhagavad Gita are the same of that which are discussed in Vedanta Sutra. So in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma, all these five subject matters are discussed. Vedanta Sutra also, all these five subjects are discussed. So it is Nyaya. So in Baladev Vidyabhushan, so in his treatise named as Vedanta Shiromani, so in the Saimantaka, Vedanta Saimantaka, he writes that Vedanta Sutra is especially based on five subject matters which are discussed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So like this, because the five subjects are same, and also in Bhagavad Gita Krishna explain with logic and reason. So these are again the two reasons why it is Nyaya Prasthan. So like this, Bhagavad Gita is Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya Prasthana. So we'll read from quotes from Srila Prabhupada books. Okay, I can open Bhagavad Gita 2.45. So, first paragraph at the end, you all can see, almost at the end. Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata. So this shows that Bhagavad Gita is a Shruti. So it is part of fifth Veda. And then you all can open introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Just after the prayers. So this is Bhagavad Gita. You all got? So after Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Bhagavad Gita is also known as Gitopanishad. It is the essence of Vedic knowledge and one of the most important Upanishads in Vedic literature. So like this, it is how it is. Upanishad. And then how it is based on the like the style of presentation is just like Upanishad, as in Upanishad. You all can open 2.29. So you all got just at the beginning of the purport. Since Gita Upanishad is largely based on the principles of the Upanishads, it is not surprising to also find this passage in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.7. Shravanayapi bahubhir yonalabhyah shanvantopi bahavo yam na vidyuho ascharyo vakta kushalo sya labdha ascharyo sya nyata kusalanushitah shishtah. So in this way, so this verse, so that how the soul is amazing, so all the four aspects are discussed in this verse. It is a similar verse in Katha Upanishads. So like this, Bhagavad Gita is prasthanatraya. It is not just smriti. So it is very important Vedic literature. So like this, we will summarize what we discussed today. So first we saw what is Bhagavad Gita under that four subdivisions. First, it is widely read perfect theistic science. So it is a science, and that too it is perfect theistic science because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he is speaking it on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to his devotee Arjuna. So by reading this, by going through Bhagavad Gita, our understanding and our faith also. So in all the theistic subjects will increase. So that we are not these bodies, we are spirit souls, there is reincarnation, and belief in Vedas would be aroused upon reading and studying Bhagavad Gita. And it is widely read. It is famous throughout the world. It is not just read only in India. Sometimes people say that Bhagavad Gita is spoken in India or it is for Indians, but it is not like that. So people throughout the world, so they read Bhagavad Gita. It is famous. Then it is part of conversation between Dhritarashtra and Sanjaya. And then again it is conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And it is part of Mahabharata. So it appears in Bhishma Parva, chapters 25 to 42. And then we discuss how Bhagavad Gita is Prasthanatrayi. Traya, sorry. So it is Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya. It is Shruti because it is personally spoken by Krishna. And it is also appears in Mahabharata, which is fifth Veda, and it is a Upanishad, and many things described in Bhagavad Gita are presented in a Upanishadic way. To the subject matter, the way of, the verses are also similar. We went through one verse, and then how it is Smriti, because it is directly Smriti, everyone knows that. And finally it is Nyaya, because the five subject matters discussed in Vedanta Sutra are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. So here we conclude today's topic. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any comments?
Definition of theism. If you see dictionary meaning, you are studying both of them. Dictionary meaning as well as Vedic understanding. So there is a lot of difference. Believers are called theists. Believers. They are called as believers. In modern English, believers. So basically those who believe in God. But belief in God means what? We should know what is God also, right? So, often sometimes we say, it is advertised that Newton believed in God, but Newton believed in which God? What is his understanding of God? So, Newton's God is, they are basically geometry and the laws of motion, they are God, his God. Geometry is his God. Why? Because just at that time geometry became very famous. So everything, just before that, up to the time of Kepler, everyone knew, everyone was, whole understanding of the world and the universe was theistic, holistic. They thought sun, moon means there are persons. And beyond all these personalities, there is God. He is also a person like that. But later they started on discussing everything in terms of this reductionalistic approach, it is called as reductionalistic approach. So reductionism means reducing all the natural phenomena into some mathematical formulas. So they started calculating distance between sun, moon, or different planetary systems with the help of geometry. So in this way, the whole view of world view completely changed from holistic, theistic, personalistic to impersonal mathematical laws or geometry. So therefore, we should know what is the meaning of God. So, there in Vedic understanding, theist means who is that theist? So, there are different. To understand theist, we will define who is atheist. So, like you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he told in a simple way, but I will quote those verses. So it is described, Vednamaniya Bauddha Hoila Nastik. Because Buddhists, they do not believe in Vedas, they don't accept Vedas, therefore they are Nastic, they are atheistic. So that is one definition of atheist. Now there will be many followers of the Vedas. Everyone, many of them accept Vedic authority, but their conclusion may not be the same as the ultimate Vedic conclusion. They may have their own interpretation and speculations of what Veda is saying. Like in Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna says, so-called followers of the Veda, Veda Vadavarata Pata. But are they do they believe in the ultimate conclusion of the Veda? So within the Vedic, so there are many schools are there. So Kapila, Sankhya, atheistic Sankhya, and Gautama, Nyaya, and Patanjali is Yoga, and Kanada is Vaisheshika, Jaimini is Karmakanda. So all these people are Vedic followers. They all accept the Vedic authority. But still, their conclusions are not Vedic. Therefore, our acharyas, they describe them. Purpose very heavily, rascals, fools and rascals like Kanada, Kapila, like that he writes. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati defined them as anti-Vedic philosophies like, etc. So, in this way, ultimately they are also atheistic. Generally it is called theistic. Shat Darshana are called theistic philosophies. And Buddha, Kanada, Buddha, Charvaka, and Jaina, they are considered as atheistic because they don't accept this. But within these so-called theistic philosophies, they are also atheistic. So, therefore, again it is defined, who is an atheist? So, like you see in 28, proper, he writes, who is an atheist? So he says, 28. So he says, non-believers in the existence of the soul are called atheist by the followers of Vedic wisdom. You see here definition of atheist. Non-believers in the existence of the soul are called atheist by followers of Vedic wisdom. So many of these Shadarshan, most of them except Vedanta, by they are all atheists because they don't believe in. And ultimately, what is the definition? Ultimate definition of theism. Theism means to understand Vedasya Sarve Rameva Vedyo Vedanta Kadveda Vidyavatana. What is the meaning of that? What is the ultimate definition of theism? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And all the Vedas glorify Krishna. So that is the ultimate teachings of the Vedas. If you believe in that, is theism. And if anyone doesn't believe in that, he is an atheist. That's all. Simple it is. So, in this way, but basic definitions of theism according to Vedic understanding is one who accepts the authority of the Vedas, one who believes in soul and reincarnation, and accepts Krishna as Supreme Personality of God. This is the meaning of that. Because you see, even if there may be many Vedic followers, they believe in Vedas, but they may think that different demigods, Shiva is God, Supreme God, and Brahma is Supreme God, or Ganesha, Indra, Chandra is Supreme God. They are all worshipping the Vedic deities. But they are also called as Parshantis. You know that verse is there in Padma Purana. That verse is there. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudra Nidayata Samatve Naiva Yuktvayam Sa Parshandi Bhavet. He is called as Parshandi, atheist. One considers Brahma, Shiva equal to Narayana. So, in this way, it goes on refining the definition of. So, Bhagavad Gita is a perfect theistic science in the sense it makes us to accept the authority of the Vedas, Krishna, and existence of soul and law of reincarnation. And also law of karma, all these things. Okay, so then then we see about another quote for that, how Bhagavad Gita is based on the principles of Upanishads. In 2.20 it is called Nam Vedate. And similarly, same verse is there in Katha Upanishad also. Na Jayate Vedate Vavipashim Nayam Tutashana Bhagu Vakashri Rajonitya Shastra Purana Nahanyate Hanimane Charide. This verse is from Katha Upanishad. So same verse is there in Bhagavad Gita. One difference is what? One word is different. Vipashyani. It is conscious. Soul is conscious. Which is told little before in Bhagavad Gita. Avinashi Sutadvi Yena Sarvamiya. Okay. Any questions, comments?
Who is Balde Vidya Vibhushan?
Balde Vidya Vibhushan. He is one of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya. Basic understanding. Wait, wait. Question is not answered. You can see in the index, no? In the disciplic succession. So he is spiritual master of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he comes in disciplic succession, and he wrote a commentary on a Vedanta Sutra also called as Govinda Bhash.
So why is later?
Yes.
So you explained that Bhagavad Gita is presented in the Upanishadic style. And you have explained 2 points, Pravati Marga and Vinyatati Marga. Everyone is not in this material, Pravati Marga. So there's 4 kinds of people who are coming to Krishna, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, are also in Pravati Marga.
Artho arthaarthi jigyasu. Artho means out of distress, out of money. So out of money is surely in pravritti marg. So distress also. So of course, when we have a lot of distress, then we understand there is no happiness. So it may be different people who are distressed. Mixed they are like. So jigyasu. Jigyasu, he is inquisitive, so he is not pravritti or nivritti, he is inquisitive, but he is more more above them actually. So basically artho artharthi. So distress may be nivritti also. So one who wants money, surely he is pravritti marg. So jigyasu is basically not surely pravritti marg. Yeah, that is Upanishadic style, but it is again Veda also, no? It is Shruti also. Most of the verses are told like that in Upanishadic style because it is Gita Upanishad. But that doesn't mean it is a. But of course, it will. When we study Bhagavad Gita, basically Nivrit Marg, that is devotional service, is told therein. So that is sure. So all the atheistic philosophies are condemned, and even enjoying is condemned. By reading Bhagavad Gita, we will become free from the fruitive activities by studying, by following Bhagavad Gita. So it will take us from, surely whoever reads Bhagavad Gita, So since it is again, so it is an Upanishad. So those who are spiritually inclined will come, because in Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Krishna, he even demigod verses he condemns very badly. So basic crux of pravritti marg is they worship demigods so that they'll get lot of benefits. But Krishna doesn't encourage. And there it is told, four kinds of people come to me. So they are pious. So they may still require to want to enjoy. By like in Bhagavatam also it's told, whether you don't have desire, whether you have all desires, or you worship Krishna. So in that sense, even they may like to continue in their material life, they may become attracted to Krishna for pious reasons, because of their pious deeds. But when they come to devotees association, so they will take up devotional service, which is the actual Nivritti Marg.
Prabhupada says, you know, based on the principles of Upanishads. So basically, the topics of Upanishads are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, it is the Upanishad. Main reason why.
Once again, I wanted to clarify. Is how the Bhagavad Gita is established, right? It's not Nyaya. Explain 2 points.
See, Vedanta Sutra is Nyaya. And the same subjects are discussed in Bhagavad Gita. So another point is, when you went through Bhagavad Gita, you must have been surprised. When if you see to whom Prabhupada is dedicating his book. He is dedicating his book to Baladev Vidyabhushan for his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So it means it has helped Prabhupada to take from them something. So he is dedicating. So it means while writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has referred to the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. So this also gives an idea, so that how their subjects are same. And
there is one, that book which he was quoting, Vedanta Samantaka of Bhagavad Gita Bhushan. He, in the introduction to that, he said that Vedanta Sutra contains these 5 subjects: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. And he develops the whole book into these 5 subjects. First he describes Ishvara, then Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. But it is based on Vedanta Sutra. He quotes everything data from the Vedanta Sutra and explains how Vedanta Sutra so contains these 5 subjects. And we see in an introduction to Bhagavad Gita also what it is called. Bhagavad Gita, and what are the subject matters of Bhagavad Gita? Right in the introduction we read. So Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. Srila Prabhupada elaborates on these 5 subjects, how they are interrelated. Interrelationship between these 5 is described in the introduction, elaborate. Then Bhagavad Gita Krishna says Vedanta Krishna Videva Chava. And then he explains in the next verses what is Vedanta. So how in Vedanta I am glorified.
So the question is, he doesn't accept Purana. But Purana is also prasthanatra, no? That is their mistake. So because
Bhagavad why he commented on Bhagavad Gita, right?
Okay. I should also understand. The doubt came to my mind also that if he doesn't accept in Smriti, but Veda is also, Bhagavad Gita is also Veda.
Generally, you see, among Mayavadis also there are different kinds of Mayavadis. I doubt whether Shankara has rejected the Smritis. He did not touch them, especially like it is told about Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is also Purana Gita, so therefore it comes in Smriti. So Prabhupada writes, he did not touch them. Deliberately he did not touch Bhagavatam because, you know, Bhagavatam clearly declares that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I don't know, I have not gone through the original writings of Shankaracharya. We are not recommended to go through that. But I have not come across anywhere. But there are different kinds of Mayavadis. Especially these Arya Samajis, you know, they strongly reject. They only say four original Vedas, Oda. That means which include Upanishads. So they don't discuss anything. And we know Shankara, he is a hidden devotee. He is a covered devotee, hidden devotee. So he has glorified Krishna. And in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, he has told Narayana Paro Vekta. Narayana is beyond this material world, material creation. So he indirectly means he has glorified Krishna. He is a devotee. So therefore he wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So our Guru Maharaj was telling that he wants to write a book, Real Shankaracharya. Real Shankaracharya. Who is Real Shankaracharya? That means he is a devotee basically, right? So in this way he has given many hints that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is one reason why he wrote Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is definitely, because it is spoken by Krishna, it plays a very significant role among many Vedic literature. So that's why every acharya wrote commentary. Therefore Prabhupada writes here, widely read these books, and widely read among Vedic followers also. It is widely read. Therefore, these are all reasons why Shankara wrote so commentary. Because you see, what they do is when they are promoting their philosophies, they will have to cover all the Vedic literature which are very prominent. Otherwise, their teachings will be very bitter by, you know, based on those literature. So they make sure that they interpret them before others refute their teachings based on those literature. In advance only, for Mayavadis they will get a chance. We also, our own interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, like that, they will get chance, because Shankara before only he wrote it. So they will make sure that all the prominent literatures are commented. These are some reasons.
Why it is theistic science? You told one point that it is spoken in Dharam Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra first. So it is spoken there in that land, and so how that can lead to that it is a theistic science.
Just like a place has got significance. So place has got significance. So Srila Prabhupada narrated that past, that story of a thief who was a, by profession he was used to stealing. But when he went to pilgrimage, then he couldn't steal, although it was his habit. So that is the nature of the place, effect of the place. So it's not that we will go to holy places and it won't have any effect on our activities. So it will have effect. So and Kurukshetra, it is place where religious things are performed. Injunctions are done, religious yagyas.